Joshua became the ally of Adoni-Zedek, king of what originally was called Shalem and would become Jerusalem, defended in a military sting like Abraham's in Genesis 14 almost the same. When the priestly king Melchizedek was by honest Abe defended, before God aided Moses in the plague of hail, which miraculously both on heavenly fire and ice depended, not stones, God's weapons, in the Joshua tale. Before God stopped the sun for him, as he had done for Moses in the plague of darkness, helping Israelites to identify Egyptian treasures before their freedom had been won, not plagued by darkness when the plague transformed dark days to blinding nights. Foreshadowing how God caused the foes of Joshua to fail by losing light, which he extinguished as if he had stopped the sun, reiterating how during the ninth plague all foes of Moses lost their sight, Joshua's miracle Moses's dark plague reiterating. Dom, he told the sun, which means, be silent. In both tales no dogs whetted their tongues when miracles to Israel occurred, not barking like fake news about failures silently regretted by Israel's foes, no words like, we're defeated, heard. The iniquity that was foreshadowed by the sin of Amorites to which Torah makes a strange allusion when in the covenant God made with Abraham it writes. God promised him its covenantal conclusion would lead to the success of the colonial settler movement it defended, depended on completion of a sin defined as Amorite, with this word, I believe, predicting anti-Semitism by Shalom would be Shalom, amended, as Joshua hoped it would be, switching off sunlight. Settler colonialism, nasty label, is not necessarily, despite progressive doctrine, always immoral. In the covenant God validated with Abraham, we're told that verily it would be moral once Amorites are no more immoral. Stopping sunlight in the sky, Joshua reminded us that God light, which C.S. Lewis appreciated more than what astronomy is able to explain, can be appreciated fully down on earth only if of it our view is not overshadowed by a solar, soulless light which makes it wane. Joshua chapter 10 describes how God enabled the Joshua to protect five Amorite kings, including the king of Jerusalem, Adoni-Zedek, in a battle against four Canaanite kings. During the course of the battle described in this narrative we are informed that he stopped, literally, silenced the sun. The story echoes a narrative in Genesis chapter 14, describing Abraham's ability to help five kings of the Jordan Valley defeat four Mesopotamian kings, a victory that led to a blessing by Melchizedek, king of Shalem, Salem. This blessing was followed in Genesis chapter 15 by a covenant with God, who assures Abraham that though his descendants would be a great nation, they would only be allowed to settle in the land of Canaan after the sin of the Amorites was Shalem, meaning completed. The story of Joshua in Joshua chapter 10 also echoes the story of the defeat of Pharaoh caused by the 10 plagues with which God ensures Moses's victory in the Israelites' battle for freedom while they are enslaved in Egypt. On the 8th of July 25, Rabbi Meir Soloveitchik in episode 189, 10-Minute Mitzvah, Gratitude versus Forgetfulness, inspired by the 13th century Tosafist and codifier Moses of Kausi, suggested that Deut. 11:8 implies that we should be grateful for what C.S. Lewis called, Godlight. In Patches of Godlight, C.S. Lewis writes, any patch of sunlight in a wood will show you something about the sun which you could never get from reading books on astronomy. These pure and spontaneous pleasures are patches of godlight in the woods of our experience. Gershon Hepner is a poet who has written over 25,000 poems on subjects ranging from music to literature, politics to Torah. He grew up in England and moved to Los Angeles in 1976. Using his varied interests and experiences, he has authored dozens of papers in medical and academic journals, and authored Legal Friction, Law, Narrative, and Identity Politics in Biblical Israel. He can be reached at gershonhepner@gmail.com.